Jordan and everyone who read. We've heard the great sweep of Scripture this morning. We're going to hear more from Scripture. But I want to just take a moment and I want to think about something in particular. But before we do that and reflect briefly on the crown of thorns, I want to pray. So let's pray. Father, we ask, Lord, that as we reflect on what Jesus did for us, that you would work in our hearts so that you would change us from the inside out. That, Lord God, that we would remember what Jesus has done for us. That, Father, we would be renewed in our spirits. Oh, Father, we think of this great plan that you had for the world from the beginning of time, since man fell, that you would send your Son to be the substitute that we need, so that we wouldn't have to pay for our sins, but that Jesus would. And so, Father, we thank you that you made a way so that our iniquities and our sins and our transgressions can be taken away. We thank you for Jesus. Amen. One of the most recognizable images of the crucifixion is one like this, or like this. Jesus hanging on a cross with a crown of thorns on his head. Countless images have been made depicting this very scene. And I just want to take a moment this morning to think more deeply about the crown of thorns. Because on the one hand, it's a simple thing. The soldiers make a crown of thorns to mock Jesus. But I think the Bible has more to say, because here's something you might not have considered. Thorns were not part of the perfect creation. Thorns were not part of the perfect creation. In Genesis chapter 3, we read a part of that, but it goes on to speak of the curse. The very first mention of thorns in the Bible is from Genesis 3, immediately after the fall, where God says this: "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you." Now, the idea of the original creation wasn't that work wouldn't be required. Okay, we need to understand God made man, put him in the garden to do work. Even in the perfect creation of Genesis 1 and 2, work was a part of it. Work itself is not part of the fall. No, the fall affects work by making it hard, by making it a constant battle. Instead of producing fruit, it produces thorns. Instead of flowers, you get thistles. The curse that God put on the ground because of Adam and Eve's sin makes work painful. It makes it difficult and caused the earth to work against mankind rather than for him. Do you realize that the curse is still in effect today? There's a common belief out there that if you just leave nature to itself, that it will produce a harmonious state. Right? That it's called the balance of nature. Have you heard that phrase? The balance of nature. If you just leave it to its own devices, it will create a wonderful equilibrium. It's not true. The balance of nature idea is a myth. Modern ecologists have abandoned it completely in favor of a different idea, that essentially nature is chaos. And if you leave it for long enough, the crabs will end up ruling the seas and the cane toads will rule the earth. It's not meant to be this way, right? It was designed originally to work in harmony with humanity. But the fall introduced difficulty. And so the next time you're doing your job and it's hard or a nuisance or you're literally battling against thorns and thistles, I know that you've had a bit of that as well, Richard. When nothing seems to go the way that you think it should, how this world has gone so far away from God's original design, know that it is the fall that has affected everything. And thorns are the symbol of that fall. Thorns are an intruder on God's creation. Thorns are part of the curse. But that's not the only way that thorns are discussed in the Bible. I'm going to zoom and jump ahead to Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus picks up this imagery of thorns in one of his most well-known parables. And he says this in Matthew 13, 7. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Many of you will know the parable of the sower, but if you need a reminder, Jesus is explaining to his disciples what the kingdom of heaven is like. And he says, it's like a farmer that goes out to sow seed. And as he's scattering the seed, some of it falls on the path, some on the rocky soil, some among the thorns, and some falls on good soil. And the point of this message from Jesus is that the gospel, the good news about him, gets all different kinds of responses. For some people, it makes no impact whatsoever. They hear the good news of the gospel and it bounces off their hearts. Before it even has a chance to take effect, the enemy has come and he's snatched it away. Sometimes, though, the gospel comes, the message of Jesus comes, and people receive it and they're like, "Woo, this is awesome." But then things get a little tough. Christianity is a tiny bit harder than they were expecting. And they abandon it. Jesus speaks about the good soil. These are true Christians who flourish, who produce a crop 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. But there is another type. Those who initially receive the message about Jesus, but something happens along the way. And Jesus explains it in verse 22 of Matthew 13. He says, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Jesus is describing a scenario where the message about him goes in, the person calls themselves a believer, initially it might even look like there is growth, but the thorns are in there too. And eventually they choke out the life of the believer. And it doesn't all come at once. It's not a one-off attack. It's the worries of this life. That is, worrying about the things, having our hearts full of the things that the world cares about. What we will eat, what we will wear, who we will marry, what we're going to do, who will be my friend. And Jesus says money gets in the way as well. He calls it the deceitfulness of wealth. The deceitfulness of wealth. What is he saying? He's saying that wealth, that money, lies to us. Money lies to us. It tells us that we're fine, that we've got everything under control. Now, we don't know exactly what sort of thorns are being discussed here, what sort of thorn bushes, but there is an interesting one in the region called a Ziziphus spina Christi. It was not called that at the time. But it's called the Christ thorn now. It's a leafy bush. And it doesn't look like it's a problem. The thorns are kind of hidden. From a distance, it just looks like a friendly and nice bush with inviting leaves. It looks good. It looks safe. You might even think that when you lose your disc golf disc in it, that you might just go in there and retrieve it easily. And before you know it, you are tangled in it. And that's what the world can be like. You think you're in control. You think that you're able to handle it. You think that the money, the relationships, the small compromises won't compromise you completely, but before you know it, you are hopelessly entangled. Thorns. They're what make work hard, and they what make the world difficult to navigate and can end up choking out the life of a believer. But we're here this morning because 2,000 years ago, Jesus wore them as a crown. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and they put it on his head They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they slapped him in his face. It was meant to mock him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. Matthew tells us that they bowed down to him. They gave him a reed as a scepter. They were mocking him. But here's the thing. He is the king. He is the king. And the crown of thorns wasn't just a mockery. It makes a powerful statement. You see, the Bible says that cursed is anyone who is hung on a tree. And that by dying on a cross, on a tree, that Jesus took the curse of sin upon himself. And in essence, Jesus on that cross is reversing the curse of Genesis 3. And I think that it's powerful that Jesus died with one of the most potent symbols of the curse on his head. Jesus died with a crown of thorns. Those things that make life hard. That thing that makes navigating the world difficult. Jesus wore them as a crown, showing us how he defeated it all. And so when we're feeling overwhelmed, when sin and the difficulties of life seem to be winning the battle for our souls, know that Jesus is the King, that he has overcome it all. And there is nothing that we can't bring to him. There is nothing that we can't lay at his feet. He wore a crown of thorns. He overcame the curse and he overcame the world. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, who wore that crown of thorns, who was mocked and spat upon for our sake. But Father, he wears that curse, the symbol of the curse, like a crown, because he is king and he has defeated the curse. And so, Father, we look forward to the day where work will no longer be hard, where life will no longer be difficult, where sin and temptation will no longer assail us. Instead, we will live in the perfect presence of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that Jesus wore a crown of thorns. And because of that, we can bring everything to you, all the difficulties of this life, everything that is hard, everything that tries to choke out your life within us, we can bring it to you and lay it at your feet. We thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.